From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We all know Thanksgiving is supposed to be a time of family fellowship, but some see Turkey Day and other holidays as grounds to spark or rekindle a family feud. Sibling rivalry, ex-spouses, and the nutty uncle who packs food to go before dinner begins, all problems that can spoil the fun. So how can you have a drama-free holiday? Is there such a thing? Joining us to give a few pointers are Karen Hudson, co-author of The New Basic Black, Home Training for Modern Times, and LaJoyce Brookshire. She's a minister, naturopathic doctor, and author of the upcoming Faith Under Fire, Betrayed by a Thing Called Love. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having me.
So, LaJoyce, you wrote the novel Soul Food, and in the film we see a lot of family drama. Mm-hmm. You also counsel people on their relationships. So why are the holidays such a stressful time?
Well, I think because it forces us to confront things that we don't want to. And it starts to build a month before, the dread, the fearfulness, the, you know, have I lost enough weight, the do I look like I'm doing all right enough. You know, those kinds of things are stressors that press on us and cause us not to enjoy the holiday as much as we should, because these are the things that we needed to probably confront even prior to the holiday, but we have not.
Is any of your family in soul food?
Oh, yeah. absolutely. Absolutely. I enjoyed family gatherings. In my family, I was never run from the table when we had the terse conversation. They always let me stick around for some reason. And I got to learn a lot about life. And when cousin Sheila had her problems, and when cousin Sheila came around, I knew that we were going to air dirty laundry and solve her problems. But what somebody would ultimately end up doing is, after the wisdom flew around the table with all the gray hairs, then someone would go get the Bible to see what God had to say about it. So that's how all of the problems were solved in our family.
Well, Karen, you may have a slightly different solution, Basic Black, the book that you wrote. When you think about the book that you wrote, trying to bring a little bit of order to the modern chaos around manners, how does that apply during the holidays? Is it any tougher, any different?
Well, I think it's tougher because the holidays represent the best and the worst of our childhood. It's all the food that we were happy to eat. You know, everybody comes home for, you know, grandma's sweet potato pie and somebody's macaroni and cheese, but it also is all the heartache and the things you remember about how somebody treated you when you were a child, and now you're an adult and you're coming home in a different kind of atmosphere. I come from a very different experience because I'm blessed to be third generation living in the same town where the rest of my family is, so I see them on a regular basis. And I do not have one holiday where there was ever drama at the table. And perhaps that is because we were raised to carry ourselves like our grandmother was looking over our shoulder. As long as we did that, it was a pretty calm day.
So what does it mean to you to have a civil and civilized holiday? What constitutes that?
A lot of good food. And just, you know, even though I see my family on a regular basis, it's a time of celebration. And particularly Thanksgiving is a time where you really do take note of what you're thankful for. And I think that one of the other things that I firmly believe is that, you know, we do need to take the commercialism out of the holiday season. I think that adds to a lot of the angst and a lot of the stress. You know, can I buy a good enough present? Do I get something for everybody? Is somebody going to buy me something? Am I going to diss what they got me? But the other part of it for me is Christmas Day is my mother's birthday.
Mine too.
Yeah, wow. And so, you know, we look at it a different kind of way. It is really a time of celebration.
Karen brought up something poignant, if I may interject, that you think about your treatment from childhood, which goes back to what I said about dealing with things that we have yet to confront, and that if you are really carrying something from childhood that Uncle Jimmy did to you that you have yet to confront, and you dread going to Thanksgiving dinner because you know Uncle Jimmy will be there, It's time to confront it or let it go.
But in what circumstances do you do which? I'm going to ask both of you that. LaJoyce, when is it appropriate, you think, to confront something? Is it
not at the dinner table?
Right.
Mm-mm. I think that it's something, if it's something that comes up at every holiday, it's obviously something that troubles you. And I think that it's, maybe Uncle Jimmy needs a letter if you can't discuss it. Maybe Aunt Susie needs to have a phone call, and, you know, and then you could scream your guts out one-on-one without any other interaction or anyone else around. Or maybe you can do it civilly and invite them out for a meal on neutral turf so that, you know, you're not at either person's house. However you choose to do it, but, you know, those are the enemies of our past that don't allow us to move forward. And so I would like for my child and my husband to have a relationship with Uncle Jimmy, but every time somebody mentions him, I can't. You know, so I think that those are the things also that help stop us from having a happy Thanksgiving and something to be thankful for and getting together with family, be they far or near.
You know, I have to take issue with the whatever it was, scream your guts out with Auntie so-and-so. I don't ever think that solves anything. And I think that what we have to be mindful of, I think you're very on point when you talk about there's certain things we have to deal with. I think we have to deal with them with ourselves first before we ever confront, if that's the right term, the offending family member. And my thing is, don't do it during the holidays. There are 11, 12 other months that, you know, we can look at things. Make 4th of July your Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Write that letter then. You know, call them, invite them to dinner, whatever you have to do. And particularly if you're not in the same city and you have a concern about your children, particularly if it's a concern that might have to do with some prior abuse or something like that, you know, then you do distance yourself a different kind of way.
We've had conversations during the course of this series on the family about when you just have to burn the bridges behind you. LaJoyce, I guess on a personal level, you had a very difficult relationship with your former husband. You had to nurse him through an illness, and he had lied to you. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about that? And did you burn the bridge behind you, or did you stay in touch with him?
Okay. Well, in 1990, I married a man who swept me off my feet and who came into my life like Prince Charming. And 2 years into the relationship, I discovered he had full-blown AIDS. And it wasn't until he was almost dead that I found out he knew he always had AIDS, that he was always infected. I am victoriously negative. And also, I didn't know until after he was dead that he was on the down low. So, yes, I burned the bridges because, well, he died. And, you know, I refused to allow him to strangle me from the grave. I refused to not forgive him because obviously he didn't know any better. And because I'm God's girl for real, and to be exposed to the virus multiple occasions and to not become infected, I am completely God's girl. And so in that, I knew that I couldn't harbor onto unforgiveness. Also, in my work as a naturopathic doctor, I understand that unforgiveness is the emotional component of cancer. And so it wasn't worth holding on to this piece of something for a dead man. So I also buried his family when I buried him, especially his sisters who knew that he was infected when they stood up in my wedding. So I forgive them and have watched their lives completely fall apart. And so there are a few people in his family who I have chosen to have relationship with. And it is very comforting and a nurturing relationship on both parties' behalf. And we enjoy each one another's company.
I bring this up for two reasons. One is because your upcoming book is on this topic. But secondly, when we think about holidays, we think about memories. And what do you do with the memories of the holidays that you spent with your former husband? Do you try to erase them? Do you just acknowledge them and move on?
Mm-hmm. I acknowledge them and move on. Because the holiday season for him was tumultuous, so he brought in those feelings, his uneasiness and his conflict that was unsettled in his family, he brought that in with him into our relationship. See, that's the part about teaming up and marrying someone who you know him, but you don't know him. So all of those things would have uncovered themselves if I would not have been in such a hurry to get to the altar, if you will. We met and married within 11 months. So, you know, when you take the time to find out what a man's relationship is with his mama, you know, what's his relationship with his siblings? Why do they have such a horrible, venomous relationship. And it's obviously because of family secrets, which ultimately still kill and destroy.
Let me go to you, Karen. Your mother being born on Christmas Day, as mine was, and we celebrate every year, does that add a level of expectation to the holiday that weighs it down, or does it lift it up and make it something different?
Clearly lifts it up. I think that, my mother, after about 50 years, said, I'm not doing Christmas anymore. Mm-hmm. So I inherited it. And every year, it's like, how can I make it more special for Mom? And Mom grew up, you know, like your mom, I'm sure, never had a birthday party on her birthday with her friends. And my grandfather, my mother's father, you know, spoiled her rotten with the Christmas presents and the birthday presents. And when he passed, even though she was an adult, it was like, you know, the little kid in her came out. And so we go to great lengths to have a birthday cake, to do all the things that she never had as a child.
Well, I want to share more about family stories, family wisdom, and just plain good manners, but we have to take a break. Thank you so much for this beginning of the conversation. We are talking with Karen Hudson, co-author of The New Basic Black, Home Training for Modern Times, also with LaJoyce Brookshire. She's a minister, naturopathic doctor, and author of the upcoming Faith Under Fire, Betrayed by a Thing Called Love.